Marie, are you ready? Grab your microphone. So we've got Marie back in the studio for the first time on the morning show this year. Of course, Marie does her own show these days on Fridays at midday. But welcome back.
Thank you.
And Marie is our local counsellor therapist, and she's come in quite regularly on Wednesdays for the morning show for a long, long time now. And sorry.
It's been a long road.
Make it sound like hard work, but it's just it must be less hard than a heavy counselling session.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
No, this is all good, Aaron. We can do this.
Alrighty. So we're talking a lot about Maui Dolphin Day and the Recycle Raft Race and community. And the Recycle Raft Race was preceded by the Recycle Trolley Derby, and Marie was involved with Extreme around that in those days.
Yeah, I was.
And your husband, PJ, was one of the official founders, but you were basically a founder as well, really. You were right there alongside everybody. But you were, when you came in this morning and I mentioned the raft race, you immediately started talking about the Trolley Derby. And there's a little bit of footage around. I put it in my film about Extreme Waste, which I did, that's 10 years ago now.
That's such a good piece. People need to watch it again. I've watched it several times.
Have you?
You've done such a good job.
Even if you just go to, it's in the first 10 minutes or so somewhere, I think, there is some old VHS footage of a trolley coming down. Because they went to Stewart Street. For those of you who don't know, they went to Stewart Street. And for the kids, they started halfway up the street. But for the adults, some of the adults, they started right at the top. And health and safety alert was...
Osh was not around then.
Not on Stewart Street on those days.
Yeah, looking back, I think they were such good times. I guess because, you know, we took a lot of risks and we didn't realise the risks at the time. We were just doing something that was community-based and bringing people together. Yeah, the excitement in the community, and I think the people that came out on that day with all their trolleys and all their wonderful creations. Looking back on it now, I'm thinking, wow, that was pretty an awesome day and awesome thing that we did back then in regards to bringing community together. And I think that it's carried on. It's snowballed since then, and I think the idea of community or coming together as community, and dare I say this, because I could be wrong because I don't know the history of Raglan as such, but I do feel Extreme Waste had an extremely big part to play in bringing community together and starting the ball rolling, really, where we got together in an event that really did showcase different areas, different people in our community, and just bringing family out. It was amazing.
Have you been distracted by the noise out there at all?
No, I'm okay.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 2000, Extreme officially started took over the council contract in 2000.
Yeah.
And had been picking up stuff in the paper and cardboard for a couple of years before
that.
Yes. The first Trolley Derby was in 2001.
Yeah.
And the last one was in 2003, and then they switched over to the Recycle Raft Race, where it didn't hurt so much if your vehicle fell apart.
Yeah,
didn't need helmets.
When I think back on the day, you know, I don't even think we had hay bales down the side of the street to begin with.
It's in the footage I found, but Penny Campbell said,
Oh, bless his heart! What a good soul he is.
Yeah, so he was another of the founders, and I remember him saying that he thought they'd try it and didn't know really who would turn up, but like heaps of people turned up.
Heaps turned up. We were not organised. Well, we probably thought we were organised, but when we realised how many people were turning up, we realised how unorganised we were, and probably started to look at Stewart Street in its entirety, if that's a word, you know, in the bigness of that street, realising that actually there could be a lot of danger happening on this day. And so at the beginning, I don't think we had the hay bales up. And then I think there were a couple of accidents, and then everyone was rushing around getting hay bales. That's my memory. It could be wrong. But then I remember them lining the street with the hay bales, and there was this massive trolley. There must have been about five guys in there. Oh, four. There were four guys in there. And that I remember well, because I think they started at the top of the hill or pretty close to the top, and they just, yeah, they, you could see they were going to go off the road as they came down, and everyone was on tender hooks, you know, as well, they crashed.
One of the back wheels
started to wobble.
And I was talking to someone last night, one of the Galloway boys, not last night, a few nights ago, said one of the Galloway boys said when they trialed the trolley, they had a problem with the wheel then, and they just put it back on and thought it'll be all right.
And I think that was the attitude back then. Nobody was kind of worried about what could happen. They were just in the moment, having fun, and there was so much going on. And
but they were fine, and they had helmets on, motorcycle helmets.
Well, I think at the beginning we might not have even had helmets.
Oh, really?
You know, I think there were things we thought about as we went along, like... yeah, so the safety issue probably came last. It was more the excitement of getting the trolleys together and what we could make. And
presumably that was the rules for the raft race are like 80% recycled material, it must be the same for the trolley race.
Yeah, imagine that down Stewart Street. What was it, 80% recycling materials?
Well, it's the quality of your welds and your screws and...
None of those qualities were there. These were makeshift. It's a pity we didn't get more footage, because that's probably the most dangerous our community got in regards to a community event back then that we got away with.
There was VHS footage from that year.
VHS. I remember PJ being, we had a speaker and he had a microphone, and you could hear his voice out the truck or something.
You could hear his voice like they're starting the race, and he's like, okay, children, clear off the road.
They were good times. So I think, you know, extreme waste was certainly part of... coming into community, brought us into community. And Raglan really has grown, I think, in community since then, because of the raft race, the Maui Dolphin. You know, there are days that we have that have been foundational, I think, are foundational to our community now, that give us, dare we need an excuse to come together and share time and fun and community events, you know. I think the raft race is going to be a lot of fun, and we need that. We've been through a lot in community through COVID. A lot of us are still carrying, you know, the residue, I think, of all of that. And anything we can do to lighten, you know, the load or bring some sense of fun in is really, really important.
Yeah, I mean, the importance of community from your perspective as a councillor, although it might be better to do it from your perspective as a young mother, because you arrived in Raglan in the late 90s, a solo mum, and like with a fairly stressful life at that point, and you didn't know anybody.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't.
So you didn't have that, you didn't really have any
support. I didn't have any sense of community.
Yeah.
I didn't have any sense of anything. So it's probably why Extreme is so dear to my heart, because I found, and my church, I found community in both places, in my faith and in what we were doing in community. But the idea of community, I mean, I'd been a runaway all my life, Aaron. Yeah, I'd just run away from everything. run, you know, and even with my kids, I was still on the run. I just never stopped running. So when I came to Raglan, I really, I had no intention to live here as such, just to be here, just a place to be and heal. So, yeah, I think it's taken me a long time to realise what community means and how community works and how important it is in our lives to be connected, because it's had such an impact on me. In my life, I couldn't imagine now moving to another community and starting all over again. I think it would cause a lot of grief for me. And the grief that I'm talking about is what people experience, you know, a lot, because they have to move from one community to another for work, you know. And, you know, we look at our mental health in our country and we really are not joining the dots together in regards to community and how important it is, connection with your neighbours, connection with your community house, with your local organisations that are in community.
Yeah, yeah. And even the things I found, like, as a young parent, like, things as simple as, like, kids' sports games, the parents standing on the sideline make connections there. It's such an informal moment. You don't have to talk to anyone. You don't have to achieve anything. But if you get into a conversation and make a connection, then it's,
And I think
those are important.
It is. And even if you were like me, who, you know, I didn't know anybody and I was shy and awkward and insecure in myself, you're quite right. Standing on the sidelines of a game can be a more pleasant way for a person who doesn't fit in to look around community, look at faces, try and get familiar with who's around and who belongs and who's, you know, just maybe not, you know, just visiting or whatever. Not that you know that, but over time you start to get familiar with faces. And so that's the small step of community, is being familiar with the people that you see. And it starts to bring connection for you. You start to say hello after a while, you know, because you recognise the face. And that's where it starts, these connections.
As a counsellor, I imagine a lot of your work with people is about much closer relationships than community. So how do you place the importance of community
for
people's health?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Yeah, the importance of community, I think, is foundational. So, I mean, we can have families that are isolated and live on their own in back countries, and they do just fine because they're geared up that way. This is the way they want to live their life, you know. But to be isolated in community, to be in isolation, you know, living in your own little bubbles in an area where people are living together and not call it something, you know, we'd be missing everything. Mm. We've always called it something, whether it be a village, whether it be a community, whether it be a hapu, whether it be a marae, you know, we've always called where we gather something, you know. So even that alone is an indicator that we're not meant to be alone, or separated, that we, anywhere where a group of people congregate, will bring community. And if it doesn't, then we're living in isolation, and that to me feels very cold and very, very not good, not healthy for us. So, you know, everywhere where there are groups of people, we're in community. So we just should get used to it, really, and work on making it good, because the world's a hard place. So if our community is healthy, at least the people that are coming into it can at least get something of nourishment from that when everything else can be dragging out of them. Community should be putting back in. Yeah.
'Cause there's, I know you've told me in the past that there are people in town, other people have told me too, who are kind of too shy or too shell-shocked or whatever's happened in their life to participate much in our community. Mm. And I don't know what you can do about that except keep putting things out there that might create the opportunity for connection.
Yeah, and I think we've got to realise too there's different personality types. Some people are extroverts and some are introverts. And if you've got an introvert who is carrying a lot of trauma, they can separate themselves off quite easily from others. But that doesn't mean that we should separate ourselves off from them.
Mm.
In fact, you know, sometimes take some of that responsibility and step out and say hello to somebody who's a bit more quiet. Usually it's the ones that are, you know, out there and boisterous or, g'day mate, you know, how you going? You know, the extroverts, they get noticed. The introverts can look like they're depressed or that they don't relate to other people, and that's not always a truth. In many ways, they want to relate, but they just don't know how to.
Hi, Belinda.
Community, love it.
Belinda's just coming through the
setup. She's going to do her dance
classes.
Dance classes, yes, it's a good thing too.
So yeah. Where were we?
I don't know.
I thought I'd remember, but I didn't. But I didn't remember. It was only a few seconds.
I know. That's what happens when your focus gets taken. But that sense of community and coming in and being, you know, not being the extrovert, being the more introvert.
Well, there must be some people who think that they just don't, they're so introverted that they don't need community, but that's probably not really the case.
Yeah, it is, Belinda.
Beautiful day. Yeah, so, I mean, there's not really anyone who doesn't need some kind of support around, do they?
Support. We all need support. We're all meant to be in relationship somewhere. From the time we're conceived, we're in relationship, so it's not natural for us to be out of relationship. You know, in community, I think there are people in our community that help us to feel connected. And we want to value those people. I mean, Rick was one of those for me.
Yeah, at extreme.
Yeah, because I was an introvert. I came with a lot of trauma and I wasn't an open person. But I always found him to be non-judging. I never heard him talking about people. He was just a really good guy that made people feel at ease and pretty much brought out the best in them. So being, you know, and Penny was another one that I was around that was just a really calming guy and just a really good person,
yeah.
You know. And I hadn't met people like this. So,
right.
You know, and so for me, you know, the cornerstones, those people that are a bit more caring or a bit more sensitive to other people, you know, you really, I mean, we want those in community and we want to support those people to be who they are because they help others to enter into community. And so the things that Extreme Waste did that they didn't have to do, I mean, they could have just stayed a recycling centre and worked away and put their heads down and done nothing in community as such and still looked like they were doing great.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They stepped outside of themselves to engage with people. And we did engage. We engaged with the people of Extreme Waste, but also their kaupapa, who they were, why we do what we do, how important it was. And so it opened up all those lines of communication and relationship that would never have happened if Extreme Waste hadn't stepped out and done something to bring community together.
Yeah, and there was an air of fun and informality.
Oh, it was fantastic.
As well, like the logo of this kahu doing the shaka sign with its feathers at the end, like hands at the end of its
amazing. And
wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I think about, I don't remember Rick or Penny or PJ, those are the ones that I kind of remember being stressed about any of this. They were just young men having fun, enjoying the moment, enjoying what they were doing. And there was no, well, you got to get this done. You haven't done this. And yet, no stress. It was like, okay, we'll just... Yeah, it was pretty cruisy, actually, which probably for some people was upsetting that there was no stress there. I don't know, but when I look back, I think how difficult it was, yet how easy it was. And I think that had a lot to do with the people that were running it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a lot of hard work in it, so it wasn't... I mean,
nothing's ever
that easy. At the same
time
as saying there wasn't this stressful kind of whip. There was still a lot of work done. Yeah,
and it wasn't. It was a coming together. It was an exciting thing, Aaron. It wasn't something that we had to sludge along and do. It was exciting, and you wanted to be a part of it. and I think, you know, to get that sense, we've been through a lot in community in regards to COVID and losing businesses and losing jobs and just losing
friends.
Yeah, losing friends.
Yeah.
And losing, you know. We just feel like we lost. It's time to get something back. And, you know, set off the Dr. Feelgood feelings, you know, the dopamine and oxytocin in us, which help us to feel good and feel like we're alive and excited about life. And
I read somewhere that helps with trust as well. It helps you feel more trusting.
Absolutely, oxytocin.
I can't remember which one. No, it was oxytocin, yeah.
Yeah, that's so oxytocin can be released from petting animals, a cat, a dog.
I'm just waving at someone else. I think it's Jacqueline outside the window.
That's why they take animals into old people's homes. It's a love chemical, very, very healthy for us.
I got someone else. I thought it was next week. Next week, we'll talk.
Next week, we'll talk, and that's real community radio right there. People just popping in, and that's what it's all about. Community isn't staged. It isn't a...
I'm worried I've given someone the wrong time. But,
oh, dear.
But
do
I'm
you want to go
sure.
and check out?
Well no, because... Well,
then you're going to leave me here talking to myself.
Yeah, you have to run... Well, actually, you can run the station
now.
No,
I don't want to.
You have the skills. You're just in the wrong seat right now.
And I'm quite pleased about
it's
that.
To do with the writers, the Whangaroa Writers World, which is another event coming up starting on the 22nd of February. So that's like, yeah, that's in a week's time. So yeah, definitely.
Okay. You're going to have to catch up
I'm gonna
with
talk
that
with
one.
I'll talk to Jacqueline in a week. And I'm talking to some of the authors too. I just mentioned that. So that's another community event for people who like writing.
And we need them. We need all these different areas that bring out different parts of our community, because we're not all driven one way. We're not all driven for Raft Race for Maui Dolphin Day. We might be driven more towards the arts and in writing or some other form of creativity that, you know, there are different aspects of who we are. Although I do think these days bring community together. It doesn't matter where we're from, really. It's a chance to build sandcastles.
I've never lived in another place as it like as an adult, as a beyond early 20s. Like, so I don't know how to compare a sense of community, really. I don't know what it's like in other small towns, if it's the same or different to this one. And I presume it's not the same in cities. You have to make your own community in a city.
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely. That's why we have different... I mean, when I was younger, we had, you know, we were punk rockers. You know, we had our community. You know,
but that made it clear when you met when you met someone else.
Yeah,
that was
very
visibly obvious.
Very obvious if you had a pin in you somewhere. What do you call them? Safety pin.
Safety pin.
Safety
did
pin
you do,
on your
did,
clothing.
Did you
yeah,
do that?
Yeah,
safety
yeah,
pins everywhere.
Yeah, had my hair spiked and
so you'd immediately
all kind of spiky things.
So would you immediately feel a sense of connection when you came across someone else with spiky pinny things going
well,
on?
Well, there is a there's probably what I feel is a sense of being a rebel.
But that's shared. But you share it. You shared with someone.
You know, and back then, I guess for me, that was that sense of being a rebel. Being a punk rocker was you were different, and you know, you dressed differently than everyone else. And it's just a stage we all go through. I mean, if I look around now, there's different things that people like to do to express themselves differently, and we all do it. We all want to be seen or known in a certain way. We're looking for community, Aaron. Even as a punk rocker, we were looking for community, or even as a gangster, we were looking for community, or even as a solo parent, you know.
I think with gangs like that, gangs are very obviously based on a desire for community.
Yeah, I mean,
even if the outcomes are undesirable from society's perspective, that's what a large part of what's driving it.
Yeah, and I found a great sense of community when I was in that stage of my life. For me, and I hadn't had any sense of community, so that was my first kind of sense of being together with other people was in that environment. And even though it wasn't a healthy one, it still gave me some indicator of what it was like to come together with a group of people that made me feel like I fitted in. And how important is that, to be made to feel like you fit in, even when you may not? Would a punk rocker fit in a gang style? Like, no. It's not good. You know, they don't fit. They're two different environments.
The gang guys would be like, you think you're tough, little punk rocker.
Yeah. Like, let me rip that pun out. Like, it's kind of like they don't fit. But and so we're looking for that sense of community. But in our community or in community, like we have from cities or whatever like that, it shouldn't really matter where we come from. because things like what we're doing with Raft Race and Maui Dolphin Day, that's what connects us. It doesn't matter if you're a punk rocker or you're from a undesirable background. In that moment, you can feel like you're connected, and the walls come down and things change, and we're all looking for that place to belong.
I think I'm wondering too about the importance of music for things like this. Like, if I was reading an article about when people are feeling divided and existing in a, they were calling it a binary state, which is not a scientific term. It's just to say that this is my group, and
yeah.
I hate that group, which is where politics leads a lot of people. Obviously, that's the first thing you think of. But that this article was saying that music, people will stay in that, and they'll just keep hating on each other and building up each other's the aggro toward each other and strengthening their position or digging in. Music can, this article is saying music can dispel all that.
Oh, it's like
little magical thing. So I know, and I know, I've been talking to Jasmine, there's going to be music at Maui Dolphin Day.
Great.
So yeah.
And
local bands and what have
awesome.
You. Yeah.
I think you're right. Music does connect us. Very much so. It reaches into a level of us that takes down all those barriers, those exteriors that we've put up, and we can't help but respond to something that makes us feel good or move our body in some way or acknowledge, you know, that we are engaging. Even when we don't want to, our toe will tap. You know, even the most stubbornest of person may get a response from music. Mm. So these are great ways to connect without people even knowing we're connecting. You know, that's what we're trying to do, is connect with you, is through sound, through music, through things that help us to feel good and feel acceptable.
I guess shared food is another
thing. There we go, food. There's all these common grounds, eh? Like, they are very much common ground where it's all about bringing people together or resonating with something that puts a smile on our face. We say hello to each other again, and you know, all those niggles that have stopped us from connecting can disappear when we laugh.
Mm.
You know, everything can be broken like that. Just even a disagreement, you know, between people and community. When we're out there in something like Maui Dolphin Day, nothing seems to matter. We'll pass each other and go, hello, hi, because the sun's shining, the music's playing, people are moving around us. We're not going to hold on to the negativity in the same way when we're isolated, ruminating on our own.
Yeah, the ruminating's not good for us on our own. You lose your perspective.
You do, and we can all do it. Don't be afraid that happens, because it's natural, but I think it's noticing. And what do I need to do for myself now to feel connected? Because isolation is not a good... It just causes bitterness. You know, we get bitter and twisted. It's like hearing the laughter outside your window and not engaging with it, you know, pulling your curtains closed and going, I don't want to know.
It's
very sad and very cold place to be.
Yeah. Hey, folks, we're talking to Marie Harworth, local counsellor therapist, and have we kind of done that, do you think?
I didn't want
to talk about anything heavy today, and Maui Dolphin Day and the Recycle Raft Race, the return after a two-year break because of COVID, seemed like the ideal thing to talk about in community. And I was disappointed we didn't have it last year, and I've been badgering people to bring it back this year. I probably annoyed a few people. I'm not taking credit for it, but I'd take credit for annoying them probably. But
well,
it's here anyway. That's a good thing.
Somebody's driving it, Aaron, and credit where credit is due. So,
the people at Extreme and at WEC, the Environment Centre, are putting in the effort at the moment to get it going. Mm. So, yeah,
and it's still the voices in the community that make it happen. So we're all connected into this in our individual ways. Because we have a passion for community and keeping it alive and active, and I think that's a very healthy thing to do.
Yeah. And you've still got a couple of weeks to make a raft. The radio station's making a raft. I'm hearing the Lions Club are making a raft, and a couple of the schools Yeah. So good. That's just what I've heard through the grapevine.
So I think, yeah.
We're supposed to register. Jasmine's going to come in and tell me if I'm not registering soon.
Okay, you've got to register. So all that information, yeah. Maybe, we need to keep hearing.
We are going to talk to Jasmine from the Environment Centre in about 20 minutes.
Good.
So we'll get all the lowdown on all that. Yeah.
And all I can do is encourage families, kids, parents, grandparents, put your life jackets on.
Yeah, you must have a life jacket. That's the safety feature for the recycled raft race.
These days, and get out and have a massive amount of fun with your kids, family, and community.
All right, Marie, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.